broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch, and we go places that other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. One of these days, they'll catch up with us. But until such time,
we're on our own. Right at a point. We're way out on the point.
We're way out on the point. They will. By the way, Thursday we will be at the NAB. When I say we, me and the many problems that I have. You know, I'm going to start defining we. Because there is a tendency for those of us in the entertainment business, every time we speak of ourselves, we put it in the plural. Because it sounds less conceited, I guess, egotistical. But I think there needs to be a better, a better reason. I'm now going to say, well, I refer to myself in the plural because it's me and all of life's, just the burdens of life, you know.
Yeah, but people are going to think you're complaining about everything.
Well, I'm not going to be complaining. I'll just say it's me and my, you know.
Your long-suffering life.
Nah, screw that. Maybe I shouldn't. I'll say it's me and all of the people that I've invented, like you guys. All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number. 877-876-7445. Our affiliate spotlight tonight, WWRL in New York. And, of course, our...
What?
I lost my affiliate list now. WWKB in Buffalo. Aha, there's one. 877-876-PHIL. On the line with me is Larry Grover. We're going to be talking tonight about the debate that just took place this evening. If you saw the Tea Party debate on CNN, I thought it was very interesting. Now, again, regardless of your political persuasion, whether you're a liberal, whether you're a Democrat, whether you're a liberal or a conservative, I should say, you have to watch these debates. You have to know what people are about. You can't sit and say, well, I'm not going to watch this because I am a Democrat, or I'm not going to watch this because I'm a Republican. That's not responsible citizenship, guys. So bring in Larry Grover on the line. Larry, you watched from your home in Culver City this evening, and you are the chairman of the Conservatives of Kern County. Thanks for joining us, by the way.
It's always a pleasure, Phil. Thank you for having me on.
So you watched where? Just at home, like most Americans?
Yeah, I'm here. I live in Culver City, not too far from where I work at the Culver City Print. And while I while I'm very much a stay-at-home kind of guy, I live with my mother, and this has been the status quo for me since Parsi and the girls left. But I still am, while I'm a pretty much stay-at-home guy and trying to balance the interests that I have politically with other things in life, I have to watch these, and I think you hit it right on the head, Phil. I have to watch these debates because they are important. They're important for all of us in many ways. They're important because you may be looking at the next president of the United States in any one of these individuals, whether you like it or not, whether you like any of them or not. And so I also agree with what you said about having to watch these debates, even if they're Democrats. I'm a Republican. I'm a conservative. But I'm certainly always interested in watching any and all of these individuals, political people, to see if they surprise me, you know?
Do you ever see the possible time when you as a conservative might be watching a bunch of Democrats debating, and you might say, wow, you know, I really like that guy?
Well, it happened almost for me when Clinton was running. I was so put out, as so many Americans were at that time, with the recession that we that lived through under George G.W. Bush, the father.
Right after Reagan.
Yeah, right after Reagan and during the Gulf War, and I found myself wanting to vote for Clinton, and I thought that a lot of things he said. But as a Republican, ultimately it was the economic policies of Democrats that always puts me off, and so naturally I wasn't interested in that at all.
Are you having a group over, or?
No, where we are, we're at one of the Fresh Choice restaurants. I took Mother to dinner, so we're having a little bit of dinner.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt your dinner.
No, I knew that we were going to do the interview tonight, so I'm just telling you that that's where we are right now.
We're talking about Larry Grover, by the way. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. And, if you guys want to weigh in on some of the things we're going to be talking about this evening, as well as your impressions of the debate this evening, you can. 877-876-PHIL. But let's give people something to chew on here. I'm going to give you an idea, of what I thought, and maybe you can respond.
Go ahead, yeah.
First of all, I saw Ron Paul, I think, very badly misstep. And when he said that he was buying into the rationale given by Al-Qaeda for their attack on September the 11th, when he actually believed that what these psychopaths were most concerned with was Israel and was with the Palestinians and with American troops, I was very troubled by that, because whether or not I like Ron Paul, I was considered to be a very intelligent man, you know?
Yeah.
And for him to say that was bizarre.
Well, you know what? Ron Paul is a marginal figure, and I don't think that Ron Paul is... People are interested in Ron Paul for his foreign policy expertise. I don't really believe he has great foreign policy expertise, but what he does have and what he does bring to every presidential campaign that he's in, and, you know, Ron Paul will go down in history as the perennial candidate who sort of keeps everybody honest, and I think he does keep everybody. And let's face it, that's why Ron Paul runs for president. It isn't because he really believes he's going to be elected president. It's because I think he believes he is a guy that keeps things on. I'm looking at your video cast right now, Phil, and it looks like there's an invisible, you know, this is going to sound funny, you have an invisible headphones?
What do you mean invisible?
Well, there's a part of them that's invisible.
Oh, it's the green screen. It must be a green part of the, that is very interesting. Yeah, it does look invisible. It's actually the metal band there that gets washed away in the background. All right, so very good. We're talking with Larry Grover, 877-876-PHIL is the number, and we're discussing with him the debate tonight. So, yeah, Ron Paul, getting on with Ron Paul, he is a guy that I agree with you.
Yeah, you know what I mean? In other words, he's not going to get elected president. I don't even think he thinks he's going to get elected president. But I think that Ron Paul does a great service, and the service is he's there to express certain ideas that he feels need to be expressed. I think Newt Gingrich... carries himself very well. In a lot of ways, Phil, I'm grateful that Newt Gingrich is running, because if I'm troubled by anything, it's the fact that as I was extremely excited about watching the debate tonight, and I sat down, Mother was with me, and we had our TV trays out to watch, and I was looking forward to the debate because I'm very much a Rick Perry fan. And
not Romney, huh?
No, I was tending more toward Rick Perry because I think he's a little tougher as a conservative, and I think he's a little bit more in line with the Tea Party, which we feel that conservatives of Kern County are. But I was troubled, and we sat down, and I was looking forward to it, and we listened to the debate, and I found myself gradually, Phil, as I was watching this debate, I found myself gradually getting very, I don't know how to put it, I was feeling very despondent. I was feeling as if, I was really excited, and suddenly what came to be wasn't what I expected.
From the debate?
Primarily from Perry and Romney. And I was getting very, in a lot of ways, I was getting very depressed. And even my mother, she saw this. Mother, you could come on and comment on that.
You might experience a little bit, Phil.
Depressed, huh?
A little bit.
I wondered why. I wondered why I was feeling this way. And I realized what it was and what it is that's going to stop the Republican Party this year. Perry and Romney are not representative of the kind of men that are going to trudge through the snow or trudge through the heat or walk or ride a skateboard or, you know, drive their car, whatever they're going to do, to vote for. They don't represent. They're not representative.
And, well, they're both accomplished men, you know.
I don't mean, were you talking about Romney being in business?
Well, either one. I mean, Romney was a governor. Romney's a businessman. Perry, the same way.
But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the fact that the two men are not, they don't, it's not me that I see there. I'm seeing two guys that obviously think, and justifiably so, I guess, that they're very attractive, okay, let's say, to women. They both, it appears to me that they both know they're attractive to women. Certainly Perry has the look on his face that he can attract, you know, any woman he wants, and Mitt Romney is the same way. And here's what I...
What? Where do you get... I mean, I don't see that.
I see it. I think any guy, a lot of men who know what I'm talking about, you know, they recognize that what I'm saying is true. And that is a turnoff, I think, to a lot of male voters. And so at the end of the day...
So you're telling me that Romney and Perry are putting off male conservative voters. Give it to me in a nutshell. Why?
Well, I think because they both are projecting the image of two guys that have the smug quality of a man who knows, you know, women are gonna they can have any woman they want. And
you see them projecting that?
Oh, absolutely, of course. And
well, here's me, and I'm not the best looking guy. Are you saying that you are resentful of that because they're not representative? That's what you said.
Yes, that's right.
So does that mean they're handsome and you're not, or?
Well, I think it means that they're handsome and you're not. You know, I mean, like, come on, Phil. You know, I've seen you, and that.
No, I don't claim to be handsome.
All right. Well, then you understand that this can be a real turnoff to a male voting base when you're walking around and every woman in the room is trailing after you. You see, I don't want to make this something that is going to slow down their campaign. I don't think it's anything that I want to indict them for. It's going to be hard for me to vote for them.
And you don't want to vote for Perry and Romney, though, not because of political, philosophical or political disagreement, you see?
No, well, yes, it is political and philosophical. I'll tell you why. Because you cannot get anything done if you don't have the support of voters. You're not going to get elected. I'm not saying that they are not sincere men. I'm saying what I don't like is that while they're doing the job in Washington, while they're doing the job in the state capitals, while they're doing whatever they're doing, they're also, you know, women are looking at them, and they know it.
But what is the problem with that?
Well, I don't think it's anything you... Phil, I think you know what I'm talking about, and I think your listeners do. There is it's very off-putting to support a guy who says, hey, thanks a lot, and would you... Basically, what they're saying is, or the feeling you get is, would you hold my jacket, or would you go get me a drink while I hit on this woman here?
And, well, I mean, that's a little bit of a throwback kind of a mentality, isn't it? A little bit of a juvenile mentality.
Well, no, I don't think it's juvenile. I think it's very old brain, as they say, and I think it's very basic, and it's going to hurt these guys, and I don't want to be a party to supporting two guys that are going to become president and walk around like they're the hottest thing going. I think it just hurts the country. That
all right, hold the line here. Larry Grover with us. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Is there a problem with Rick Perry and Mitt Romney? Is there a problem with either one of them or both of being aware of the fact that they're handsome and that that obviously would put off men who are not as good looking, number one, and it may also mean that they are attractive to women? Is this a problem with you? We'll get back and talk more with Larry Grover tonight from Conservatives of Kern County. 877-876-PHIL is our number, and we'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. With me is Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County as we talk about tonight's debate. It was billed as a Tea Party debate, Larry, so it was sponsored by the Tea Party, but it doesn't necessarily mean that the individuals there are going to be Tea Party friendly, right?
That's not really what I'm talking about. If you were to ask me who's the most Tea Party-friendly candidate, you're going to get a lot of people saying probably...
Ron Paul?
Probably Ron Paul, but not necessarily the only one. I mean, I think that Rick Perry is the man, and that's going to be a tough one because, again, Rick Perry is battling uphill. He's got that look, and I wish he hadn't done it. I watched it tonight, and I felt like I was... I was eating dinner with Mother, and I remember lifting a piece of steak almost to my lips, and then I saw him flash that smile, and he gave that kind of that head move, that as if to say, you know, the collar's a little tight, but I'm the coolest guy in the room. And I remember I just dropped my fork on a plate, and I at that moment I didn't like him.
Well, how much of this is very personal? And
well, it's personal to any voter. When you see a guy running for president of the United States, okay, that's powerful enough. And on top of it, he's handsome. Where does that leave me? Where does that leave most male voters? It leaves you thinking that you're nothing. If you know what I'm saying?
No, I don't. I remember, of course, I was a child, but I remember Jack Kennedy as president. He was a handsome guy, and I don't know that hung up a whole lot of people. Here is Billy in Greenville, North Carolina. Billy, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
I'm just wondering what looks have to do with politics. You know, it should be about the policies that they're going to bring to working Americans like myself, taxpayers like myself, and what direction they're going to carry this country in.
Well, I can tell you, Billy, I think that you're making a very good point. But let me ask you, and I would ask you to be honest with me, don't you resent a little bit these guys standing up there like they are, you know, like they're going to score every woman in the room? Doesn't that bother you? Does it make it difficult for you to identify with them?
No, I honestly will look past that. To me, you know, if you've got what it takes to get in and get America back on track, get people back to work, and you've got a plan to do that, that's my main focus when I go to the voting polls to vote. It's definitely not about how pretty they are, how ugly they are. It's just, have you got what it takes to get the job done, to get these people back to work and get people in better shape? I mean, America's hurting right now. I don't think looks have anything to do with the policies that somebody's going to bring to the table.
Let me ask Larry, I want to ask Billy a question. Billy, this is Phil. Can you tell me who it is that right now, early, and I know it's early, but who would you favor right now?
No, please don't ask him that question, please. And I'll tell you why, Billy. I'm sorry I didn't mean to interrupt Phil. I don't think you should ask him that question. And
why?
Because I think the gentleman needs to let the Rick Perry-Romney effect settle in. I think he's going to be resentful eventually that these guys think they're the hottest guy. You know what I mean?
No, I don't know what you mean. I think if I ask this man, Billy, who he wants to vote for, he's giving me an early assessment. He may change his mind.
But he's going to say Romney or he's going to say Perry. You know he is.
I have to go with Perry. I have to go with Perry.
See what I'm saying?
What I've seen so far. But, you know,
that's what I'm saying.
It's so early in the game. I mean, somebody may bring something better to the table, better than what he's putting out. I mean, they're going to tell you what you want to hear, but when it actually makes sense, it settles in, then that's where you're going to make your vote at.
I thought, you know what I thought was a good point tonight? I thought what Romney made he scored a little bit of a point when he said, you know, you're right, Governor, you did increase jobs. Ann Richards increased them 2%, George Bush increased them 3%, and you increased them 1%. You know,
that was a cheap shot from one pretty boy to another. But I'm just saying to Billy, don't you feel like you're selling out supporting some guy that would likely sleep with your wife?
What does that mean?
No, I'm not saying that he would.
Well, you said would likely sleep with his wife.
I meant, how do I say this?
I'm secure enough in my relationship with my wife that I don't think a pretty boy could walk along right
do
now.
Do you, let me ask you, do you think your wife would be attracted or would want to sleep with him as well?
No, that's not a question to answer. That's not a question to answer.
I think it's very important.
Well, no, it's not. I don't want Billy to answer. Thank you very much, sir, for your call, though. I appreciate it. Our number is 877-876-PHIL.
But I thought it was very disingenuous for you to hang up on that. You know, let me finish my question because...
I thought it was a little insulting.
Well, I'm not trying to insult the man. What I'm trying to say, Phil...
When you ask the guy right out, you know, do you think that your wife would sleep with your wife?
No. I meant to say... Do you feel secure, and I would ask this question of any man in your audience tonight, do you feel secure supporting Rick Perry knowing that your wife would be attracted to him? That's my question.
Why would you make that overall assumption, though, you see?
Well, look, Phil, I know that you are a little... little bit of a libertarian on some issues, and some issues you're a liberal. I don't know that you really understand the dynamics of conservative politics. What I'm trying to communicate here tonight to your listeners and to other conservatives is that Perry and Romney are attractive on paper, but they both carry themselves with this air that if I've got to sleep with your wife, I guess, and I have no choice, and she's throwing herself at me, I will. And
I don't see that at all. We'll be back, 877-876-PHIL, on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Who do you support?
Phil Hendry.
You hung up again.
Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
On the line with me is Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County at the Fresh Choice in Culver City. It's a restaurant there, right, Larry?
Yes, it is.
I'm sorry. We can hear it in the background.
Well, it's a buffet style. One of the things that's difficult, it's a buffet style restaurant.
Go ahead.
If you don't mind.
Go ahead.
One of the things that's difficult is I'm on here talking about Rick Perry and Mitt Romney. I'm a conservative, they're conservatives, and yet I find myself in a very uncomfortable position of I can't throw my support behind them 100% because I sense in them this idea that they think they're hot, you know? And
when you say hot, for people who are just joining us, you mean you sense in them they think they're good looking.
They don't. Well, I don't know how they think of themselves. Yeah, but they think that they're hot looking, yeah. Here's why I think it's dangerous. It's dangerous because I can't relate to them as an average conservative voter, as a man. There's a lot of men just like me. And
well, is there a candidate? If we're talking about physicality, okay.
I'm not talking about physicality. I don't want it to sound as if there's something having to do with I'm physically attracted.
No, I'm not saying that, but you're saying that you can't identify with them because they're handsome?
No, it's not because they're handsome. It is because they're handsome, but it's also because they're handsome, they may also engender in a wife or a girlfriend. It's difficult to say, but I cannot... This would be something I'd love to hear from your female listeners about, even though I know that what the answer is. Women are going to be attracted to them, and they may go ahead and take a shot, given the fact that they're so powerful. And if I'm there, and I'm not married, and I don't have a girlfriend, but, you know, knock wood, hopefully someday, if I'm at the White House, and I'm meeting them, and I'm with a woman that's taken me 10 years to find a good woman, and Perry... beds are, you see what I mean, the first night?
You know, you got a whole scenario.
No, sir, I do not, Phil.
No, you got a whole paranoid scenario about what Rick Perry or Mitt Romney will do if they ever see you with a woman at the White House. And
I do not.
Yes, you do. If I go to the White House...
Well, understand something, Phil, and your listeners need to understand this, and there's a lot of guys in my shoes. My wife left with my kids some 10 years ago after I had been involved in the effort to get Clinton impeached and out of the White House. That failed. And also along with it, my marriage as well as my job. So, I have lived here with mother for a number of years. And I have been very involved in politics, finally free to pursue politics. So I have not dated and I haven't been with... I haven't had a normal, if you want to call it, I haven't had normal relations. And
well, what does that mean? Because it's starting to sound...
Starting to sound what?
It sounds weird. What do you mean by...
I haven't had normal relations with a woman. You understand what I mean?
I understand, but it sounds like you are crippled somehow.
No, I'm not crippled. I've been very busy. Now, if a conservative is elected, and I am freed up to be... with a woman, and I am invited to the White House as the result of working on behalf of that conservative, and that guy is Rick Perry, and my girlfriend looks at him after all of the work and all of the time and all of the dates and all of the effort that I put into resurrecting my personal life and my girlfriend, and he decides that I don't know how to put it.
You're saying if the President of the United States decides to go to bed with your girlfriend.
It's not just, it's Rick Perry. And
you know, I understand, Larry, but you have a mindset that Rick Perry believes that he's the hottest thing on earth, which maybe he does, and that means that he's going to be hitting on all these chicks.
No, I didn't say that. The women will be attracted to him. That's what I'm working on.
You're afraid that any woman that you choose in your life, a woman that you are going to be with, is going to be attracted to him and hit on him.
Well, I don't know how it's done, but yes, and that is what I consider to be
it sounds very paranoid, you know, and it sounds wrong, and it has nothing to do with politics. I'm going to go to a phone call, okay? And Larry, you can think about that. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Here is Dean. Go ahead, Dean. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, hi, Phil. I'm really enjoying your program this evening. I'm listening to this man trying to find the point of what it is he's saying, and I don't think there's any doubt that what he's saying is that he has an inferiority complex. And I don't have an inferiority complex, sir. What I have is a fear that if we elect a pretty boy, he's going to want to put that ahead of his duty as president.
Well, I don't doubt if you elect a man like Rick Perry, it could very well be, but that's got nothing to do with his looks. That has to do more with his, his personal moral philosophy. But I think it's very amusing because you have... Can I ask you what you think of Michelle Bachmann?
Can you say that again?
May I ask you what you think of Michelle Bachmann?
I think Michelle Bachmann is a capable individual.
Would you vote for her? Would you vote for her?
I would probably vote for Michelle Bachmann, yes. And can I want to say something, too?
Go ahead.
Are you voting? Do you think she's attractive?
Okay, you're trying to corner me into saying that I think that I would vote for Michelle Bachmann because I think she's beautiful. I would vote for Michelle Bachmann because she is a capable candidate. And what if she was elected president and you got invited to the White House? Would you go for it? Would I do what? Would you go for it?
I can't understand you, Dean. What are you saying?
I'm asking him, Phil, if he'd go for it if Michelle Bachmann...
Would you try to hit on her?
I would never disrespect the President of the United States in that way. Do I think she's attractive? Yes. If she were to ask me for a cup of coffee, I would...
Where does that happen in the White House?
In the kitchen. If, for instance, I was invited to spend the night in the Lincoln bedroom, I don't know how they do it, but they do have those...
Some people have spent the night, yeah.
Yeah, some people spend the night. And she's up in the middle of the night rustling around and has a cup of coffee. And she asked me to join her. I would.
Okay, and what if things got, what I'm trying to establish here is you say that the women would throw themselves at these presidents and so therefore the men shouldn't vote for them. And I'm trying to establish whether it is equally true of Michelle Bachmann.
You say that my wife should, if I were married, I'm not married.
No, but if you were, well, that's true, if you were married.
Let's say you're married, should your wife not vote for Michelle Bachmann because, and I don't...
You told me during a commercial break, Mr. Henry, you thought Michelle Bachmann was frightening looking. And
would you mind not, I can volunteer that information, okay?
Wow. Well,
I'll volunteer that information, and I don't believe I used those words at all.
You did. Yes, you did.
But, Mr. Henry, that is neither here nor there. My question is... So you're having a cup of coffee with Michelle Bachmann in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Then what?
You know, I don't like the way, then what? The way you're talking to me.
Would you answer the man's question?
If I had a cup of coffee with Michelle Bachmann in the White House kitchen, and it's the middle of the night?
That's what you were saying. You said they get up in the middle of the night.
Yes. I would have a cup of coffee with her.
Right. But would you make a move?
Okay, this is a silly conversation.
Hold on, this guy. I know where the guy's going. I know what you're trying to do, sir. And you're not gonna win. Would I make my move? Yes, I would.
And would you do it right there on the floor?
You know, you got a mind like a sewer, sir. And I forget.
I understand what you think of me, but that's not really my point. My point is, if you hit on Michelle Bachmann and she was president, would you do it on the floor of the kitchen?
The White House kitchen?
Yes. You know, I'm not even going to dignify that.
Well, that is you not having courage. And we need political courage. Now, would you do it on the floor, wouldn't you?
I don't think there's a man alive, if presented with that opportunity, that would turn that down. And
on the floor of the White House kitchen, is that what you're trying to say?
You know, Mr. Henry, your indignance on the floor of the White House kitchen, you say it with such certitude, and you say it with such an arrogance that it almost makes me want to cry. Because I know that the men listening to me tonight don't want Rick Perry to be elected president. And
you're missing the point.
No, we've got it, Dean. Thank you for calling, okay?
Well, I didn't get a chance to finish what I was saying.
You said enough. You got me to admit that I... Yeah?
All right. Thank you very much, Dean. 877-876-PHIL, the number here on the Phil Henry Show as we talk with Larry Grover of Conservatives of Kern County. On the floor of the kitchen. I don't know what any of this proves.
Well, I don't either.
But you're the guy that brought up the notion that Rick Perry and Mitt Romney both are so attractive that the American woman would want to vote for them because of their looks and might even stray from their marital vows. You've got these guys being elected president and wrecking homes.
Well, I think you have to look at that, and you have to look at it hard, and you have to look at it for a long time. You've got to stare at something like that. And I mean really stare at it, and I don't know, Phil, if the American people have the guts, and I mean the real guts, to stare at Rick Perry and Mitt Romney and the men, as well as the women, and look at those two guys and ask themselves the hard questions. Are those two guys going to wreck homes? Am I attracted to them? Because I don't know.
And what does that mean?
What it means is, if you're a... I think you know what it means, and... If you're a closet case, I don't know if you're a closet case. But
if you're a closet case.
Yeah. And I think you got to look at that and say, what do I think? And that's why I can't vote for them.
All right. When we come back, I want you to give me an idea who it is you would vote for in this entire panel of Republican candidates for the presidency of the United States. And I don't know whether Michelle Bachmann's in there or not. You made a ridiculous comment there about being attracted to her and the floor of the White House kitchen, which I don't want to get into. 877-876-PHIL is our number here. 877-876-PHIL. We're talking about Mitt Romney and Rick Perry and how handsome they are. And is that a problem? Are American women going to be attracted to them and vote for them based on that? Do they think they're really hot when they walk through a room? And what does it all mean? 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. To call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. News, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And, of course, we're online at philhenryshow.com. If you don't have a backstage pass to our website where you can get live streaming video of this show and the largest archive in the history of the world, the largest radio archive in the history of the world, and you don't have a backstage pass to that site, then there's something wrong in the way you're spending your entertainment dollar. Just basically wrong. So head over to philhenryshow.com and access thousands of hours of radio comedy, the greatest in the history of the world. Larry Grover joining us here tonight as we continue discussing tonight's debate. And we have focused primarily here, Larry, on, you know...
On Mitt Romney and Rick Perry. You know.
Well, and I'm wondering why.
Because you asked me about them, and I told you what I think the big problem is. Look, those two guys are the front runners, and I have to tell you what I think the problems are. That has been my job. My job is a chairman of Conservatives Kern County that I did at the expense of my family, my wife, my kids, my job, my social life, is to analyze who makes the best candidate for office for these various offices. Now, Rick Perry and Newt Romney or not Newt Romney. By the way, I want to talk to you about Newt Gingrich, because I believe him to be the best candidate.
And okay, that's a good place to start, because we've been talking about... Rick Perry and Mitt Romney.
Rick Perry and Newt Gingrich.
Newt Gingrich and Mitt Romney. And Mitt Romney and Rick Perry is who we were talking about.
Yeah, I apologize, Phil. It's Newt Gingrich. He's the guy that I would support.
All right, now let's hold on for just a second, because tonight we had Rick Santorum. We had Herman Cain, who I find him to be very entertaining. I think when I say entertaining, what I mean is he's a man who has a wonderful way of communicating and very definite about his points, his economic points.
Herman Cain is wonderful, but I think there's going to be a backlash from the Democrats. They're going to go, we picked a black guy, and you're doing the same thing, so you're copying us. That's what they're going to say.
Well, if they want to be children about it.
Well, they are children. Look, the Democrats are nothing but one big party of children. You got to understand that. Everything they're going to say and do, they react like three-year-olds over there. That's what they do. They like to think that they're so intellectual, but they just react like three-year-olds.
All right, fine. But we had Rick Santorum, we had Herman Cain, we had Ron Paul, we had John Huntsman, we had Michelle Bachmann. So we had a number of people, and we've already established that Bachmann you like, but there was this whole scenario, and I wish we could get it off of that.
When you talk, you're the one and the guy that called who sounded to me as if he were a conservative gay, which we absolutely need in our party, there's no question, but why does he have to lay bear traps for a straight guy? I'm on his side.
And what bear traps?
He's got me on the floor of the kitchen. He's got me on the floor of the White House kitchen with Michelle Bachmann's ankles up around my...
Okay, can we watch the language now? I think I've had about enough of that.
Bill, I was...
Can we watch the way we're talking, if you don't mind?
I was answering the guy's question.
I know that, but you're going places I don't want to go, if you don't mind. Now, where are we here?
Yeah, where are we? Good point.
All right. Who are you supporting for president?
What?
Who are you supporting of these guys?
The guy that I support, Phil, is going to be a guy that reflects the working man and woman of America, a Republican who believes in individual liberty, individual initiative, the individual ability to start your own business, to work as a worker. And I heard Herman Cain. I thought he was very good with talking about workers. But there are reasons why I can't vote for him.
Yeah, because you think the Democrats are going to hone in on the fact that he's black, and so you're copying us.
That's going to be their argument, yeah.
And that's so adult.
Oh, my God. How many times do I got to tell you?
Look, it's not a difficult thing to argue against a childish argument. Now, tell me who you're supporting.
Can I at least say about Herman Cain?
No, you can't.
Bill, Larry is emotionally undone here.
I'm not emotionally undone.
He's emotionally undone because when you started talking to him about his dating life, when Marcy and the children left, we had to have Larry talk to someone because he tried to break into the bathroom one night when I was having a bath.
That's completely unnecessary, Mother!
I'm doing this, Larry. He tried to...
No, I know about that. I know about that.
So, you know, we had him in the hospital.
That was completely unnecessary! Unnecessary!
Are you listening to this? Well, you're not laughing, are you?
No, I'm not. No, I'm not.
Give me the phone, do you mind?
Don't say it nice.
Can you please give me the phone?
Nicer.
Mother, may I have the phone?
Nicer.
Mrs. Grover?
Hold on. I know what I'm doing. Nicer.
Mother, may I please have the phone?
A little bit nicer.
Oh, you old bag?
Oh, I'm an old bag, huh?
Ah! God! Oh!
Here. The phone.
Oh, yeah! Yeah!
What happened, Larry?
Hold on. Yeah, she did that one. Uh-huh. Woo! Oh, right in the Royal American.
What happened?
Well, what do you think happened? She gave me the phone.
In a very sensitive area?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Hold on for a minute. you know what's going to happen, Phil, is because the muscles tense up.
I understand. Get yourself a little air. Let's take... You know what? If you're getting abused like that...
Hold on, will you? God!
Larry, your voice is not...
Hold on! Okay, the guy that I'm... Let's see, my voice...
Yeah, it... She must have hit you hard.
She did.
Do you want to take a break?
No, I do not want to take a break. There's, you know, a lot of guys from conservatives of Kern County are listening tonight, and they want to hear how well I do.
Well, so far tonight, they've heard you, let's see, talk about having Michelle Bachmann on the floor of the White House kitchen, your mother hit you in the you-know-what with a phone, and now you're talking like Mickey Mouse.
Yeah. Well, guess what, Phil? That kind of thing doesn't embarrass me. Maybe it embarrasses you, but it doesn't embarrass me. I push through stuff, okay? Now, the guy that I would vote for, you there?
I'm here.
Can we finish this? The guy I would vote for is Newt Gingrich, because he looks like the average guy. He's got a couple of chins. He's got more chins than a Chinese phone book. Huh? You heard that one?
Yeah, I've heard that one about a million times.
What a pain in the ass here. Phil, I didn't aim to hit him that hard.
Phil Hendry.
More chins than a Chinese phone book. Ow!
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And welcome back here to the shores of the El Pacifico. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And we're here each and every night, Monday through Friday, till 10 o'clock, or till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast with the News Talk and Entertainment Show. Bud?
That knows what it's talking about.
That knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch. And where we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they cannot do it. All right. One more hour tonight with the issues of the day, and we're going to just veer a little bit off of politics tonight in this hour and talk about something that I think is extremely important, and that is the domestic relationship at home of man and woman. With us is Dr. Jim Sadler. To talk about that and to give some pointers on the here we are in the 21st century and we are learning more and more and more about domestic violence and learning more about how to prevent these things. We're going to talk with Dr. Jim Sadler from San Diego in just a moment. It's my understanding he's at a youth arcade or something.
No, he's not at an arcade. Just does some writing and talking on the phone there.
Whereabouts?
Ocean Beach.
All right, so we'll have Dr. Sadler on from Ocean Beach in just a moment. Hey, the Phil Hendry Show website has, in its new store, our shop, the new Phil Hendry ball cap. That's right, with our show insignia, our logo. It is in the colors of blue, black, yellow, and white. The show logo is in the Phil Hendry Show colors, and of course, on a royal blue baseball cap. So it's in our store. Pick it up along with the official Phil Hendry Show T-shirt. Get the mug, get the shot glass, get some of our CDs, and you are on your way to being equipped. And the good news is forthcoming, official Ted's of Beverly Hills merchandise. We're going to have a Ted's of Beverly Hills. I think we've got a hoodie, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think so.
And that's going to have the Ted's of Beverly Hills logo as well as the Phil Hendry, or rather the Ted's of Beverly Hills slogan. We want to put our meat in your mouth, available in our shop there at philhendryshow.com. So a lot of good things ahead, especially for the holiday season, as I guess we have to start talking about the holiday season. You know, Christmas is approaching, isn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, what's that about? I don't understand it being Christmas already.
Because the summer's over and Christmas, I mean, that's how it happens. You're saying time flies?
Yeah.
It sure does. All right, 877-876-PHIL here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Dr. Jim Sadler joining us from... You're in an arcade down in Ocean Beach, Dr. Sadler?
Say again, Phil?
Are you at an arcade down in Ocean Beach?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I'm doing some writing, and a lot of the work that I do pertains to behavioral science with children. So this is the tail end of the summer for some of the kids who are not yet back in school.
All right, so are you down there just hanging with the kids, huh?
Yeah, in a manner of speaking, there's always Julius across the street, and I find it to be a great way to complete a lot of the writing that I have to do for the next day.
I wanted to talk with you tonight. You were discussing the issue of domestic violence, and I'd read something, I think, in the New York Times about, you know, that there is just never any reason ever to strike a woman. And they put, there was a list of like five or six scenarios that sometimes are entered into, or reasons, I should say.
They call it rationale.
Rationale, yeah.
That a lot of men will give, yeah. Well, it was interesting to me that tonight you were talking about the political debate, and I was reading that article, and I saw these rationale, and I, like so many others, you know, I just shake my head. There's no reason in the world, there's no legitimate reason in the world to strike a woman, whether it be a woman or a child, if you're a man. There is just no excuse.
Give you an idea, a scenario.
Well, I really don't like to do that because there just is no reason.
All right, well, what if she is, you know, holding you at bay with a weapon?
There is no reason for a man to strike a woman. You can't get that weapon away. She's a woman. She's weaker than you. She is smaller than you on average. And you can certainly disarm any woman who's holding a weapon. And
are you absolutely sure about that?
Phil, you invited me on your program to give you my expertise. I don't know that you would want me to say anything else. Yes, I'm sure of that.
All right, so, okay, so there's just no...
There is no... Even if a woman were to hold you at bay with a knife, if you, as you put it, Phil, if your life was in danger, if a woman, for whatever reason, just you and a woman, is that what you're saying?
Yes, yeah.
All right, no, there's no reason to hit her. There's no reason to strike her. Ultimately, you are stronger than a woman. Ultimately, you can overcome whatever odds are against you when it comes to women, if you, just use your brains. You don't have to strike them.
All right, we're talking with Dr. Jim Sadler. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. The reason why I asked you that is because you know that men have been struck by women.
Yes.
And you have there is the domestic violence issue going the other way, that men, if a woman strikes a man, and I've even witnessed that with my own eyes.
Where did you see that?
Where did I see a woman striking a man?
Yes.
I actually saw it on an episode of Cops, believe it or not. Where the police had been called, and there was a woman standing there, even with the cops there. Every time the man tried to say something to the cops, she slapped him in the face. She kept slapping him in the face.
Well, you're talking about an episode of Cops. That's done for entertainment purposes.
No, but it's reality TV. They're not making it up.
Well, a lot of these reality shows now are not, Phil, done. You even said yourself that these reality shows are not really reality. You know?
No, Cops is different, though, I think.
What makes it different?
Because these are real situations. These cops don't have any time to sit there and make stuff up. I think it's a very, very real situation.
All right, and so you see a woman slap a man, but even still, the man should never, ever strike the woman back, because that's an even more intense situation. If a woman is slapping you in the face, it's going to make you angry, correct?
It's going to make some guys angry. Some guys may become very frightened.
Well, I don't know. Okay, it's very strange to hear a man get frightened if he's hit by a woman. What would happen to me is I would get very angry. I can tell you that, I'm 53 years old. I'm married to a woman who is a good deal younger than me, but I do keep myself in shape because of that, and I do a lot of weightlifting. I keep weights and weight equipment around, so I'm constantly lifting weights, and I do have a very developed body as a result of that. If my wife Tammy were to hit me, my instinct would be to slap her back, and it would not be good for her because of the power that I have. So,
well, I mean, okay, and that's a very dangerous thing.
But she's not going to hit me. This idea that men are victims of domestic violence, I just have to chuckle at it.
Well, you know, I think And you're the doctor, and I'm sorry to have to argue with it.
Well, I've noticed that you're countering me a lot, Phil, and it's disappointing because I know what I'm talking about.
No, you're absolutely right, and I apologize, but I you know, men have been abused domestically. Don't you agree?
I think in some instances men have been struck. There's no question. I'm talking about how men react. You should never, ever,
okay,
never, ever hit a woman, ever. And I have written about that. I found the New York Times article to be a very good article. I don't think it was totally complete. Never, ever, and if I can just put this to rest, once and for all, no matter what a woman has done to you as a man, again, Phil, you don't have to strike her. She could have a gun on you. She could have a knife on you. You can take the gun or the knife away without hitting her. Believe me, I know. As I said to you, I do a lot of weightlifting. I've never had, thank God, I've never had to take a knife away from my wife. But
well, if you say that you know, give us.
I can well imagine. Well, I'm saying I know because I have. As I've mentioned, I do a lot of weightlifting. I have a developed body. So if a woman were to pull a knife on me, it's not going to be too good for her. I don't know how else I can describe that.
All right, Dr. Jim Sadler with us from San Diego in the middle of a... I can hear the kids playing at the arcade. So you're there.
I'm here. I like to be around the kids. They give me ideas for notes that I take and, you know, what I'm going to do in my sessions the next day.
And our number, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Talking to Dr. Jim Sadler, there is never any reason ever.
Never.
To strike a woman if you're a man.
That is exactly what we have said in our seminars. That's exactly what I tell my men in counseling. That is exactly what we have told, and that's what I told the New York Times when they called to interview me. I said, you never, ever, ever, ever strike a woman. The only time and...
Well, you're saying you never, ever strike a woman.
You never strike a woman. There is one time where you may. And it is an understandable thing. It's nothing that I endorse. But if she begins to offer opinions, and this is why I thought that this was very good for tonight, if she starts to offer political opinions, and why do I say that...
Are you saying that that's okay to strike her then?
Let me explain. You never strike a woman, is what I'm saying, Phil. That's the bottom line here.
Okay.
If you are going to strike a woman, the only time it would be understandable, right, is if she starts to talk, if she starts to give you a whole line if she starts to argue with you about politics, because a woman is going to express an opinion.
Well, I want to be clear here, okay?
Listen, let me finish here. A woman's going to express an opinion about politics, and what that is going to do is make you want to argue with her. The minute she starts to argue with you about politics, that's the danger area, because that's when you're probably going to want to strike her, and we do get into that area of it being understandable.
All right, you have said here, and we got to take a break, on our number 877-876-PHIL, you've said a woman, you never, ever, ever strike a woman.
That is correct. You know, well, you know.
But you're giving a reason.
I'm saying, no, you never strike a woman unless, and it's a very rare instance, she starts to argue with you.
About politics?
About your politics, yeah, because that's going to happen.
All right, hold the line here. Dr. Jim Sadler with us in Ocean Beach, California tonight to talk about domestic violence, and he was interviewed by the New York Times. There's never, ever, ever a time that you strike a woman, ever. Now, he's just qualified that slightly, saying you don't strike a woman unless she is arguing with you about politics. And we're going to get back into that with him. 877-876-PHIL is the number. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Radio for patriots, by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Well, I think so.
To
call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We have Dr. Jim Sadler in Ocean Beach, California. That's a, you know, to say that there's a, there actually is a time when it's acceptable to strike a woman after you say that there is no time.
Phil, there is no, let me explain, there's no time when it's ever acceptable to strike a woman. What I'm saying is, I think it's understandable when a woman starts to argue with you about politics. Let me explain that.
To say that it's understandable, though, you know.
Let me explain, all right, so that we, you know, I don't really want to get too far afield of the science here and of the psychology here. It's very important. When a man who has been, you know, again, Phil, as men, we are fitted with the, like a beast of burden in a lot of ways. We're fitted with a bit. It's a psychological bit. It's a psychological series of reins and controls in much the same way that horses, you know, like on a stagecoach. Only these are psychological. And when we are reined together as men, and expected to, hold on a minute, I got to move. Moving outside, it's a little noisy in there. When we have, as men are expected to carry this burden, then we are also expected to intellectually excel. And so we do that as well. But there's only so much pressure that we're going to be able to take. The arguing and the debate of other men, the challenges, and
are you speaking in a kind of, it sounds almost 1960s.
Well, you know, in a lot of ways, Phil, these arguments, these struggles are never over. We started this struggle, especially for men. We started in the 90s or in the 80s when we tried to empower men and give men the idea that, you know, a lot they have been men have been expected unreasonably to do things. So now comes your wife or girlfriend or just a woman, and she wants to argue politics. And that's when I've seen men say they want to really, because that's the future of the country. And that is the, that's the real, that's an area that men have always had sacrosanct.
All right, we're talking with Dr. Jim Sadler, but understandable to ball up your fist. You wrote in a note here that you, it's an email you sent me.
Well, I that was not something for you to share.
Oh, I'm doctor. I'm sorry. Okay.
Well, it's all right, but I wanted to be able to explain that first.
All right. The note that I got here was, it is an instinct to ball up your fist and want to strike a woman, which sounds just absolutely, you know, untenable if she is. If she is arguing with you about politics.
Right, and that's the instinct. There's very few areas that men have left to them in this world. There really are very few. I mean, every place. The workplace is invaded by women. Women are there in sporting events. Women are there when we're raising, talking to our children. Women are there even when we're golfing. Any, you know. And every place that a man thought was his own, women are there. Now, here comes politics, and you say, well, I'm going to vote for, say, Mitt Romney, like the gentleman you had on last hour.
Uh-huh.
And she says, well, you know, I don't like Mitt Romney. I like Rick Perry, and here's why. And you feel, the thought comes over you, my God, I can't even express a political point of view. And she's in my face on that one, you know.
Well, do you call it being in someone's face when they simply say, I like Rick Perry?
I told you, it's an area where men, if I'm sitting with my wife, Tammy, and I say, I like Mitt Romney, and she says, well, I like Rick Perry. I didn't ask her opinion. You understand? I didn't ask her. I said, boy, I really like Mitt Romney. And she says to me, yeah, I like Rick Perry. My instinct is to turn and say, who's talking to you?
And do you recommend that?
I think it's a much better thing to do than to get up, as a lot of men would, and just backhand it. You don't want to do that.
And yet you're saying that that is understandable. So the two choices that a man has, if a woman expresses a political view, is to turn on her and say, who's talking to you?
Or you can get up and backhand her, but I don't think that that is as understandable as that is in the psychological paradigm. You have to understand, Phil, in the psychological paradigm, it's understandable, but it is not preferable.
So it's understandable if a guy backhands his wife across the face when she says, well, I like this other guy. Okay, it's not good, but it's understandable. Now, it's preferable to just...
It would be preferable to look at her and say, as I've said to my wife many times, I could get Tammy in here, I don't know if she's awake, but I could get her in and say, Dr. Sadler's done that many times, said, I like Mitt Romney. Well, I really like Rip Romney. Is that Rip Romney?
Mitt Romney.
Who's Rip?
There's no Rip. It's
Rick Perry. And she would say, well, I like Rick Perry. And I would say, who asked you? You know?
And that doesn't cause an argument.
It doesn't cause an argument because it's either that or I get up and I walk over very slowly and deliberately and backhand it. And I don't want to do that.
What is a man to take away from this conversation if he's hearing you say it's understandable to strike a woman?
It is not too. I would say, first off, it's you cannot strike her. You cannot strike her. It's better to turn around and say, who asked you? And some men don't find that satisfying. Some men need something more, or else they're going to get up, and they're already taking their ring off. And
good God. Hold on. 877-876-PHIL is our number as we talk to Dr. Jim Sadler here about domestic violence. It's not a good thing, but it's understandable if she argues with you about politics. You either get up and backhand her, or you tell her who asked you. We'll be back, 877-876-PHIL. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Who asked you?
United States of America.
Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And welcome back. You're the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. We also are live on Phil TV and HD here from our studios in the El Pacifico, right on the westernmost edge of this great country of ours. And with me is Dr. Jim Sadler in Ocean Beach, San Diego. We're talking about one of the most horrific things I think there is in life, Dr. Sadler, and that is domestic violence. When two people who have loved each other, suddenly the whole, the fabric of the home life becomes a violent one.
Well, so I have been working my entire career to stop this from happening.
Yes, sir, and I believe you, but you're saying... You can understand a guy wanting to backhand a woman if she's arguing with him about politics.
I'm saying that we're trying to keep it from happening. If a woman disagrees with me, you were married. I mean, if you're saying, well, I think I'm going to vote for George Bush or whoever, you may say that I want to vote for Gore. And they say, well, I'm voting for Bush. The instinct of every man is to sort of swing around in his chair and say, who asked you? You know,
well, what if I'm talking about it with my wife?
Well, if you're talking about it with your wife, then you're letting yourself in for more heartache than you can... You know what you're going to get for your trouble? Heartache. Nothing but heartache. And that's what we're trying to keep from happening, you know. That's the essential point here.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL, talking with Dr. Jim Sadler. Let's go to Rick. Hi, Rick. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Dr. Sadler.
Hey.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, the comment, you know, the guy was making a comment about it's understandable to strike a woman. That's ridiculous.
This is Dr. Sadler, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's a ridiculous comment to start with. If you can't get along with somebody, stay away.
No, I didn't say it's okay. I didn't say it's okay. I think you misunderstood me. I said when she argues with you about politics, it's understandable for you to get up and start taking your rings off.
Can I ask a question here?
No, Phil, I'm talking to the gentleman. Do you understand what I'm saying, Rick? You understand what I'm saying, Rick?
I don't understand a bit of it. I mean, it makes no sense whatsoever. It's not understandable. People get that way. People think it's because they disagree with somebody, take it out, if there's disagreement, you walk away, you cool down, you talk about it.
Right.
And if it can't be settled, you get away completely. It's not understandable for a man to strike a woman under no circumstance.
Well, no, but I'm saying, do you? I don't know, Rick. I don't know how you run your home, but do you actually?
I'm in the middle of
your wife. You let
divorce right now.
You let your wife argue with you about politics?
Wait a minute. I want to hear what this is. You're in the middle of a divorce, Rick, huh?
I'm in the middle of a nasty divorce right now.
Yes, sir.
We have a trucking company. The trucks are locked down. I can't touch stuff, and I had to go buy another
truck
to get started again.
Oh, you're kidding. Oh, God.
Living with another man, and, I mean, there's lots of stuff went on here. It's not understandable for a man to hit a woman under no circumstances.
This is a lot. Your patience and your whole life is on hold. And even with all of what this gentleman says he's contending with Dr. Sadler, he's still...
Well, you're a better man than a lot of the men that I counsel, Rick. I'll tell you that right now. You're a better man than 90%. But you're not talking about really what we're talking about. You're talking about she's taking your truck, she's got your business, she's sort of holding your business hostage, she's sleeping with another man. Things that, yes, irritate you, but boy, I'll tell you, when she says, "Oh well, I don't like Romney, I like Perry," that's when you say, "Okay, I've had it."
That's freedom. That's what we call freedom.
I don't get what you're saying. I don't understand what you're saying.
Well, wait a minute. Wait, you don't understand what he's saying. You're saying that it's under all of the stuff that this man's going through. Don't touch her. But the minute she says she wants to vote for somebody you don't want to vote for,
that's when your rings come off.
No, that's her business. Your business towards her. That's why we call this a free country. Anybody can vote for who they want to vote for, or however they want to do it.
You're absolutely right. There's nothing you've said that is wrong. There's nothing, but in my work as a psychologist, and again, you have to understand that I deal in human behavior, that if you were to at least, have you ever looked at her and said, why don't you butt out? I wasn't even talking to you. You've never even said that.
In a situation where it's your wife. I mean, it is.
Yeah. It's her. She votes too. She has a right to vote too.
Well, I know she has a right to vote, Phil. I understand that. But you're saying all this stuff. This guy's got his trucks in lockdown. He's got all this stuff, everything. And then she says, "Oh, and by the way, I want to vote for this." And you don't even want to turn around and say, "Did you? I thought I heard someone either fart or belch. Was that you? Don't you want to say something?"
Oh, come on, man.
That's when you either agree or you don't agree, and if you don't
agree,
you say, "Well, hey, that's your choice, but I don't see it that
way." Yeah. Thank you very much, Rick, for your call. Our number 877-876-PHIL.
Well, I think that the two of you gentlemen may be laughing, and that is your prerogative, Phil. I don't think it's intelligent to laugh at a man what has my education, which I, And
well, I'm not, sir. I respect your education.
And for you to laugh and go ha ha ha. When I say, my wife, if she were taking my business from me, and I'm not saying anything, but if she's taking my business and then she says, "Oh, and by the way, guess what? I'm voting Democrat next year." You want to say to her, "Was that, it sounded like either a hippo bellowing or it might have been you, honey. Was that you?" You don't want to do that.
Well, what are you talking about? Insulting her or...
I'm telling her to shut up. That's what I'm saying without saying it. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
You're telling me it's entirely... And everything you're saying here, Dr. Sadler, and again...
I'm a psychologist that has written three books. I wrote three books, right?
Yes, sir. I'm aware of that.
All right.
But I'm saying you are basically giving men a blueprint for how to deal in an insulting... but not a violent way, with a woman who is pissing you off. And it sounds destructive.
Phil, destructive is picking her up and throwing her under the wheels of a passing truck. That's destructive.
Oh, my God.
No, that. But to deal is to say, who asked you? That's dealing with it.
All right, let's go to another phone call here, 877-876-PHIL. We have Brian in Macon. Go ahead, Brian. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Phil. Yeah,
yes, sir.
I just want to this is sheer ludicrous. I mean, I don't understand where his own psychology is in this. It's sheer ludicrous to even think of the fact that it's okay or that it's instinct for a man to strike a woman. He talked earlier about the loss of instincts in men nowadays. How about the loss
right.
of civil dispute between a man and his wife? You know, I mean,
well, I think yes, you're right. There needs to be a civil way of, but they're also
what you're claiming is not civil. You're claiming that a man should degrade his wife in order to have satisfaction in the fact that she has a different opinion of politics.
How did I say degrade?
Because you're telling him to swing around in his seat and
I mean,
I didn't say shut up. Well, what I said was you swing around in your seat and you say, who asked you? You know, what are you?
Well, that's like degrading her to the point.
You just said it was equivalent to saying shut up, right?
Well, let me say, I want to stop down for a moment and say something to both of you gentlemen, you, Brian, and you, Phil. This is from a psychologist's point of view. Both of you gentlemen are showing very, very typical signs of this kind of what I call balling up or turtling. They call it turtling in hockey. Do you know what that means?
Yeah, getting into a ball so the guy won't hit you.
Right. So you just, like, you get into this little ball. That's what you guys are doing. I'm trying to tell you how to deal. And
No, we're not. You're saying...
Hold on for a minute, Phil. Both of you guys are saying, oh, no, Dr. Sadler, I could never look at my wife and tell her to butt out when I'm having a political point of view.
Well, but why doesn't she get to express a political point of view?
Who said she can't? Who said she can't? No, I said she can't say it to you. When she says it to you, what do you want to give this woman, Brian? You, Phil, what do you guys want anyway? You see this last guy we talked to? Guess what he's losing? Everything he's got. Is that what you guys want?
Wait a minute, man. You're taking this into something. That gentleman that we talked to...
That gentleman that I just talked to, you, Phil, and you, Brian, you want to wind up like him. With some woman that's got your
that
business
totally,
on hold.
That is totally out of order. Let me tell you what.
Only your phone is out of order, sir.
You're backing the fact that telling your wife to butt out in a civil union is okay because she has a difference in opinion. And just because you don't want to hear your wife's opinion, she is loyally committed to you for life. And to degrade your wife's opinion is totally and sheer ludicrous.
Right.
Because
all right, Brian, you can believe that as the moving van is taking the last of your equipment away.
Wow.
Yes, I am married, sir. Yes, I am. Yes, sir, I am.
I don't understand how, because if you were to belittle your wife's opinion, that is, I mean, it's like saying, honey, I don't care what we're buying for groceries this weekend.
Well, sir, I don't get your analogy. I'm simply saying to my wife, you have everything that any woman has ever wanted in the history of the world. You have it all. You've got a home. You've got everything, freedom. But when I express a political, don't you, you're arguing with me about politics? I mean, don't I have anything left? That's what I'm saying as a man. That's what I'm asking you, Brian, and you, Phil, to understand.
No,
don't we have anything left? And when my wife expresses a political point of view to me, I look at her and I say, who the hell asked you?
God.
The freedom of speech is an amendment.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about the Constitution now, sir. I'm talking about your marriage. Otherwise, you're going to be standing there looking through the Venetian blinds as the last of your equipment is loaded into the moving van.
No.
Well, whatever. Okay, well, I got to take a break here. Thank you very much, Brian, for your call. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Dr. Jim Sadler on the line with us from San Diego in that arcade that he's at as we talk about... We're talking here about the domestic situation and the fact that men and women should be kind to each other and should be respectful. But if she argues with you about politics, you know, she's crossed the line, and a lot of guys are going to want to get up and start taking their rings off. He's not encouraging that. What he's saying is turn around and tell her to shut up. 877-876-PHIL. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, as we continue here with Dr. Jim Sadler from San Diego, and we're talking about domestic violence, and we're talking about how men should never strike women, and I'm totally with you on that, but we've got this qualifier here, Dr. Sadler, that is disturbing a lot of my listeners, and that is the idea that if a woman argues politics with a man...
So I want to tell you one thing.
And then we want to get to our calls.
I understand that, but I just want to say one thing. I grew up with a father that was a strong man. Now, did you ever see the movie Cape Fear?
I saw both of them.
Yes, I'm glad you said that, because I'm talking about the original Cape Fear with Robert Mitchum. He played the man that was eventually let out of jail, and he wants justice. He's thirsting for justice. My father was like Robert Mitchum in that movie.
And well, hold on for a minute.
Can I finish?
No, because Robert Mitchum in that movie was the Robert De Niro character in the modern one.
Yes, but Mitchum was more like my father. He was, you know, somebody's going to pay. I spent time in prison.
That guy in that movie was a stalking, menacing criminal.
Phil, that was my, you know something, that's an insult to me. My father was a strong man.
And did your father spend time in jail?
I'm not going to get into that. The point that I'm trying to make is that my father was a strong, I try to be strong, and I don't believe in hitting women. Although, yes, Robert De Niro or Mitchum or whoever did strike women in that movie. And
yeah, De Niro did. That's for sure. He broke a woman's, the character broke a woman's arm in that movie.
I don't remember. What I'm trying to say is that I give her everything. And my wife, Tammy, is here. How you doing, honey? She's here right now, and she'll tell you I give her everything. But if she starts to argue politics with me, when do I stop being rode like a rodeo bull? When do I stop being taunted like I'm a bull in a bull ring in Spain? Like they're going to put another bandolera in me and another bandolera in me. And then they're going to take that sword. When does it stop? When does it end? When do they finally put me out of my misery, carve me up, and feed me to poor people? Because that's what bulls, you know about the bulls, and you ever been to a bullfight, Phil?
No, I haven't been to one, and I understand the analogy you're making. 877-876-PHIL is the number. Here is Bonnie in Flagstaff, Arizona. Go ahead, Bonnie, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Good evening there, I guess.
Good evening.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I was listening to your radio station here. I'm on the
yes,
road.
Yes, ma'am.
It seems to me like Dr. Sandler just has a total disrespect for women and their opinion. You know, as far as I'm concerned, he's kind of condoning, you know, there's more than one abuse, you know. There's physical and there's mental abuse. I have a sister that was shot four times, and before the shooting, you know, she ended up, you know, it was just all this mental abuse.
And, right. Did she argue with the guy about politics?
What? She got shot. She was shot.
Well, I was just wondering. All right. Was it her husband that did that?
It doesn't matter whether it's politics or if it's the weather or it's the grocery bill. You know, everybody has a right to opinions. And that doesn't give someone else a right to slap them or tell them to shut up or be ornery to them, you know. It's just a...
I'm trying to say that when my wife argues politics with me, I feel as if... If you've ever been to... Well, Mr. Hendry didn't want to answer. Have you ever been to a bullfight?
No, but I did raise cattle. I know all about that sort of thing.
Okay, there you go. Imagine one of those steer, Bonnie, is me, and you've got me tied up and sticking a branding iron on my you know what. That's how I feel.
Oh, come on, man. Are you trying to tell me that because your wife expresses a political opinion, you feel like a bull in a bull ring getting a sword between the shoulder blades?
Yes, I do, Phil, and I'm sorry that you can't have the compassion that's necessary in the modern society to, you know, to feel it.
And because she disagreed with you.
It sounds to me like he needs to go and see another shrink or something. You know, he's pretty well self-centered. And
ma'am, I am a shrink. Ma'am, I am a psychiatrist. I don't know.
Well, that's
your phone.
I sure wouldn't go to you as soon as I find out what your attitude is.
Wait a minute. I'm the doctor. I send people to psychiatry.
It doesn't give you the right to take and, you know, disrespect people and not allow them their opinion.
I don't want to disrespect people, but of all the areas of life that men have to contend with, can't we have one area where we don't have to hear ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba? You know what I mean, right?
Yeah, well,
ba-ba-ba-ba.
We've been hearing ba-ba-ba-ba for years and years and years, and finally, you know.
Are you talking about men?
We have as much talent and as much...
Absolutely. No question
as a man.
About it.
No, that doesn't
Absolutely.
Mean we have to... Doesn't mean that we have to sit down there in the closet because somebody doesn't want to hear it.
See, you'll notice, Phil, I haven't said sit in the closet.
Yeah, but you're saying there's an area of expression that is not allowed women, and that is the political opinion.
I didn't say that at all. I said argue with me about it. See, there's a difference. Bonnie can have all the opinions she wants. My wife can have all the opinions they want. But I'm sitting and I'm talking about politics, and I expect her to sit. Excuse me for saying this, Bonnie, but I expect my wife to sit, shut up, and listen. What's wrong with that? Everywhere in life, women get... You're driving a truck right now. Oh, my God. Isn't there one area?
I put it on the side.
The point is, you have the right to drive a truck. You get to do everything you want. And the minute I give an opinion about something, here it comes. Ba-ba-ba. Here comes the mouth. And
you know, you are a head shrinker, right?
I don't like being called a head shrinker, but yes.
I think Bonnie was right the first time. You sound like you need a doctor. And
That is an insult.
Well, it sounds like it if you're saying that a woman can't express an opinion as ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba, is the way you put it.
Well, that's what it is. It's noise. All I'm asking, you see, what's unfair here is now I look like I'm crazy. That's what's unfair. I had positioned this beautifully as the doctor who would come in with the opinion, and Bonnie and you would say, yeah, boy, you're great. And now the two of you have ganged up on me and have turned me into a steer tied up at the gates to Bonnie's ranch with a branding iron up my you-know-what. Thanks a lot, Bonnie.
Phil Hendry.
Yep, thanks a lot.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast to 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we go through the looking glass and beyond, taking you places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. And from the El Pacifico is where we broadcast this thing. Monday through Friday, if you're watching us on Phil TV and HD, well, you can see the El Pacifico. If you're not, you should. If you don't know about our website, go there and check it out. If you like our show, we got thousands of hours of audio available for you there at philhendryshow.com. There's a whole lot about this radio show that if you're listening to it for the first time, you just don't know. And believe me when I tell you, if you think you can listen to this show once and get it, you can't. However, if it takes you 6 months, that's pretty scary.
Yeah, people like that are mental.
I wouldn't call them mental. Anyway, that was Bud Dickman, Robert Leonard with us. How you doing, Robert?
I'm doing pretty good, man.
And this is our news and information hour. So we do thank Dr. Jim Sadler with his take on domestic violence. And, well, of course, I don't like domestic violence, but if she argues with you politically, you're going to get up and take your rings off. I don't know what that's about.
Well, guys, he needs help. Because he thinks he's healthy.
He ain't healthy. That's for sure. And whatever the hell it was we did in the first hour, something, I forget. It's whoever we had. Oh, I know, it was Larry Grover, right?
Well, he's talking about the debate.
The debate. Did you guys watch the debate? Well, look, debates are good, and debates are, you can find out a lot about a candidate. It all depends on what you want. I don't know, call me crazy. What I like with a candidate has to do with, is this cat, is he trying to tell me something I want to hear? Is he telling me something that I need to hear? Is it in accordance with how I feel about things? Everybody has a different view as to how America needs to run. And at the end of the day, you vote, and then you go along with the majority opinion. That's why we say majority rules in a democracy. Of course it does. And I'm sorry you lost, and it's really tough, and oh gee whiz, and all that stuff, but, let's just grow up and move on, and we got another president. I don't mean that just in terms of people that might not have voted for Obama. I mean that in terms of people that didn't vote for Bush, people that didn't vote for Clinton, people that didn't vote for Danny, on and on and on and on.
You just have to,
Oh, bud, can you put some paper in there?
I'll try.
Ran out of paper on the printer. But point being, you suck it up like a grown-up, and you live with it, and you live to fight another day, like they say. Now, tonight there was this debate, and I saw some things that were, and I'm actually yawning now thinking about it.
You're thinking about who, Ron Paul?
No, I'm not thinking about it, but let me tell you this. I saw some stuff that was a little shocking. And I saw, and I have the greatest respect for Congressman Paul. I don't agree with his basic outlook for America. I don't believe that it is a... I don't think it takes into consideration how society has changed, how the world has changed. But nonetheless, I'm not disagreeing with him. Basically, that's not why I want to take him to task a little bit. I heard him say something that I was stunned to hear. I heard him say that Al-Qaeda and the reasons that Al-Qaeda gave for attacking America on September the 11th were the actual reasons for their murderous attack and killing of 3,000 people. In other words, if Al-Qaeda said that they were doing it because they cared about the Palestinians, they didn't like Americans being on the soil of the sacred soil of a Muslim country, and they thought the Palestinians were getting screwed over and Israel was getting everything. If that's what they said, Ron Paul believes those are real reasons. I'm not saying he thinks they're legitimate. I'm not saying that he thinks they are the rationale to commit the kind of murder that they committed, but he believes that those are the actual reasons, and I find that to be nuts.
Why?
Because there's the Sunni gang that committed this crime, Al-Qaeda, is a group of psychopaths, murdering psychopaths. Murdering psychopaths. You telling me that the Boston Strangler had a reason for killing all those women? You telling me that Richard Ramirez? Because if you're telling me that, then that's what you're saying about Al-Qaeda. That's essentially now a new way of looking at this kind of crime. Well, he had his reasons. I'm not saying they were right, but he had his reasons. You're missing the point. You're missing entirely what these guys are about. They're run by a psychopath who was the son of a father that had 8 million kids, 7 million mothers. God knows if he got any kind of real parenting, this Bin Laden. The idea of killing those people was, in his mind, was not only was it justified, but it was probably enjoyable. He was smiling when he went to see the one-eyed mullah there after the attacks on 9/11. He was smiling. He was talking about, wow, what a great job we did, and let me just tell you all about it. This is not a human. This is an anti-human, as we call them. A psychopath. So Ron Paul buying Al-Qaeda's reasons, the stated propaganda is shocking. So that's why he is now dismissed in my mind as somebody that doesn't think clearly. I didn't say he's crazy. I'm not saying he's nuts. I'm not saying that the guy's not smart. God knows he's a very intelligent man. But his read on that situation, and let me tell you something. The American people are the same way. Americans, politicians, they don't know a damn thing about foreign policy. They don't know a damn thing about the world. They're almost as ignorant of the world as the world is of us. And the world is pretty damn ignorant when it comes to America, despite what you've heard. Believe me.
Yeah, this guy's talking about how America's this and that, and they don't even know nothing about it.
Well, they don't know anything about it because, like we've often said, in the minds of a totalitarian, they think they've got it figured out. They couldn't be more wrong. When that clown, that what's-his-face, that bloody Bin Laden was talking before the 2004 election, I think it was, and he was talking about Bush reading to the children and ignoring what had happened. In other words, what he had done, and you know that TV, him watching the television?
I was watching that, man. I was wondering if you could look at Fahrenheit 9/11.
Well, that's exactly what he did watch. This jackass Bin Laden watched Fahrenheit 9/11 by what's-his-face Moore and got all of his ideas for that little tape he released. Everything that he said on that tape, the 2004 tape, was in Fahrenheit 9/11. So basically, it's like Michael Moore gave him all. I'm not saying that Michael Moore collaborated with Bin Laden, but if Moore were brighter, he'd realize that on some level he had. On some level, he was making the argument for those scumbags. They don't have any argument. The guy that cut that kid's head off, you remember that young man, Nicholas Berg?
Yeah.
That scum that we eventually took out with a bunker buster, I think. Whatever the hell his name was, that head of Al-Qaeda in Iraq. Are you trying to tell me that severing a man's head on a videotape? And I watched that tape. I watched it all.
I don't know how you did that, man. You got some kind of a... You must enjoy that.
What do you mean enjoy? I had to belt you just for saying that. What do you mean enjoy it? That was tough to watch. I had to watch it.
Why?
Because it's my job. That's my job. Are you trying to tell me, Paul, that guy, and don't tell me it's different, because flying an aircraft into a building and incinerating human beings, there ain't much difference between, I don't see any difference between that, and on a videotape, taking a young man and tossing him on the floor and sawing his head off, because that's exactly what happened.
Oh, man.
I'm telling you, I watched the tape, and that's what he did. While the guy lay there screaming. Are you telling me let me tell you the reason for that, Phil. Why is that, man? Because we got troops on there? Yeah, and because of the Palestinians, and because, I'm telling you, I would never vote for Ron Paul. Even yesterday I wasn't going to vote for him, but I had respect for his ability to, I think, size up the world a little bit. Well, he's got his head so far up his ass with the Iraq and 9/11 that even the people in the audience who were total Tea Party freaks were a little bit stunned. So then you move on to who else?
I don't know. That's it.
What do you mean, that's it?
Well, that's all I want to talk about.
Well, we're going to talk about... What do you mean that's all you want to talk about?
Yeah, talk about that guy getting his head cut off.
Look it. There was Bachman. Oh, geez, Bachman. Bachman, according to CNN, had her strongest showing. I think that she was very forceful, yeah, and I think that she was very much... I think she was good on that vaccine that Rick Perry gave the girls. I don't know what the hell that was, but there was some kind of a forced vaccine that he apologized for. I didn't quite get that, but she scored points with that. The guy that was solid through the whole night, two of them, that were noticeably solid. I don't know that Santorum made a misstep, but Rick Santorum... is not going to get anybody's attention. He doesn't get... There's nobody that likes him. Was Herman Cain and Mitt Romney. Those guys didn't make a mistake. And that guy Cain, I'm going to tell you something right now. That guy is a great candidate. I don't know how much support he's going to get. People probably don't think he's electable because he's a relatively unknown guy. But I tell you, that guy, every time he opened his mouth, he didn't stutter step. He didn't have a hesitation. He knew exactly what it was he wanted to say. He addressed every single question, and he was on point with every single question, and he was sharp, and he talks like a guy that's run a business. And, of course, everybody knows that the drawback on running businesses is that's not how you run the U.S. government. All right. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. All kinds of news. The ACLU pressures a school district to allow Internet access to LGBT sites. What is going on? Serena Williams calls the U.S. Open umpire a hater. 9/11 Memorial Plaza in New York opens to the public. That's coming up here tonight in this News and Information Hour on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Dan just gave his Twitter handle out on our Phil TV and HD feed, which means he's going to get nailed now by some of the people that like me. And there's all kinds, you know, there's all kinds. There's people that like you, and there's people that that don't like you, you know.
Why don't people like you?
Well, I don't know. I mean, probably because I have a political... Sometimes, because the show is essentially a comedy show, so maybe they hate me because they thought it was funnier once, and now it isn't. Maybe they hate me because they can't be my friend. I don't know how weird some people are, you know, but they do get weird, and they get so weird that you have to, call out the reinforcements sometimes. Now, listen to this. Cam Newton throws for 422 yards in his NFL rookie debut, setting an NFL rookie record. Do you know who Cam Newton is?
Uh-uh.
He was the quarterback at Clemson last year, and he was the number one draft pick of the Carolina Panthers, as well he should be. He got the starting job. As will happen when a team is desperate, they got to get something going. And would you believe, even with the 422 yards, the record setting, the two touchdowns, et cetera, they still lost to the Arizona Cardinals 28-21. Well, it's going to happen, you know.
Wait a minute, you said it's going to happen what?
It's going to happen.
Yeah, but you said it's going to happen. Two things going to happen.
Well, no, I said that it's going to get out of here, will you?
Well, what you mean?
What I'm saying is, here's what I'm saying about that. You know, I remember a football game on a Sunday afternoon, and I had just moved to Central Florida. I was a young construction worker. I was only 19 or 20 years of age, and I was sharing an apartment with a couple of buddies of mine, and every morning we got our asses out of bed, and we went, that looks really weird, man, the way that that's...
What?
On my Phil TV and HD, that one part of my headphone looks invisible. Anyway, And we would get out of bed in the morning and go to our little jobs, cement finishers and framing carpenters and laborers these jobs that we had in construction. That's what I was doing when I first moved from California, went to Florida. And then on the weekends, we would get our case of Old Milwaukee beer.
Where'd you get that?
Because Old Milwaukee beer at that time, you're ready for this, folks? This will give you an idea as to prices. But even for those days, which is like 1972, this was El Cheapo. Six-pack of Old Milwaukee was 99 cents.
Get out of here, man. That you're kidding. You ain't remember it right.
I remember it exactly right. Why do you think I bought it? Why do you think Old Milwaukee came out in 1972. It was his first year. And when you're 19, there's one thing you do pay attention to, and that is what beer is out there and how much does it cost and how much, you know, beer can you drink and, you know. Like that.
It was 99 cents for one?
For a six-pack.
What?
Yes. Will you listen to what I'm saying? So we would get a case of this stuff on Sundays. And on Sunday, that's when we would go out to the pool at the apartment complex. Have young teenagers changed? I don't think so. And when I say young adults, I should say. I don't think much has changed in the lives of teenagers because as I was listening to, and I was in Orlando, only I was in Orlando in 1972, as I was listening to the Casey Anthony trial, and you got a snapshot of the life, the nightlife in Orlando for young people there. When I lived in Orlando in 72, as my father used to call it, a wide spot in the road, man. I mean, if you blinked, you'd miss the city. There was nothing going on. There was nothing to do. There were parties. If you could find a party, There were different bars on Colonial Drive. There was one bar, I remember, the Club Escadrille on Colonial Drive. But it wasn't until Rosie O'Grady's was established, I think, in 74 that we had anywhere to go. And then we would go down to Rosie O'Grady's and Church Street Station. And as I remember watching that Casey Anthony trial, that's where everybody now go. They go downtown, as they say. But there's probably clubs all over the place down there. There was nothing. But listening to that trial, I realized things haven't really changed all that much. You buy beer and you go party. You know, so that's what we were doing. And on a Sunday afternoon, get a case of beer, go out by the pool, talk to the girls, drink a bunch of beer, get really hammered, and then come in at 1 o'clock for the first game. And I'll never forget this one Sunday. I'm watching this game, and it was Johnny Unitas versus Joe Namath. It was a Sunday afternoon NFL game on TV. The two of these guys combined for somewhere in the neighborhood of, I mean, I'm not kidding you, like 900 yards.
Get out of here, man.
900 yards? 900 yards. Almost. Look it up. It's a combined yardage record, I think. It was insane. I forget who won the game. I think the Jets won the game. It was Unitas, the veteran, and Namath, who was 3 years off of his Super Bowl win. And Unitas had won the previous year, I think. So I see these 422-yard games that these guys have. It ain't all that unusual. And this guy, a rookie, Cam Newton, this guy is going to be something. This guy may be another Steve Young. He may be another Joe Montana. We'll see. Newton earned the respect of his opponents in the process. His big numbers came even though the playbook he's using remains limited. We really had to pare it back an awful lot, and it's going to grow each week, said the Panther coach Ron Rivera. Newton completed 24-37 with one interception. He was everything everybody didn't expect him to be, said Steve Smith, who caught eight of those passes for 178 yards, including TDs of 77 and 26 yards. He was on point. He made great runs. He made some great reads. He made some fantastic throws. He made throws out there that, honestly, as a receiver, it made it easy to catch him. The statistics seem to mean little to the big young quarterback who was unbeaten in his BCS championship season at Auburn. Oh, I said Clemson, excuse me, Auburn. The last time I lost a game was Navarro Junior College. What do you want me to say? It feels great. It is not a comfortable feeling for me, though. I don't know what he means by that.
What's that mean?
I'll tell you this. If you get guys that are used to winning, that's really good. They say that Al Davis, and I don't know if Al Davis still does this, they used to say that Al Davis would draft, he would start out by drafting guys from USC, Notre Dame, and Ohio State because all of those programs won, and he wanted guys that were used to winning football games. He wanted people who would get angry if they lost, who didn't understand it if they lost, who were like, what the hell is this losing? I don't do this.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It makes sense. And this kid Newton, that's what he feels like. That's the but he lost.
That's what he meant about being uncomfortable.
Yeah. Final score, it was Arizona 28, Carolina 21 in Glendale, Arizona. What a ball game. Fantastic. All right, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. When we come back, we still got a couple of things to talk about concerning the 9/11 remembrance, which was just beautiful. Just beautiful. And Mel Gibson, he's still on about this Judah Maccabee movie, this Jewish hero that Mel Gibson, he wants to do this movie. He's just pressing right ahead like nobody knows nothing. All right, we'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show in just a moment.
Phil Hendry. Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here to the Phil Hendry Show. David G. Hall joining us, the Vice President of Syndication for our program. We did not have the time that we wanted for you tonight, David, just because we got pushed around schedule-wise.
I got a call from this lady, Ms. Dooley, who said that you had...
Bobby Dooley.
Right. She said that you had blocked out time for her talking about the Kardashian wedding.
She wanted to talk about renewing wedding vows.
I, don't know what it was about, but I got a call from her. She was not happy. And I say that, I know that we're on the air right now, Phil. I say that to your audience is listening. I'm saying I support you. And sometimes it happens, and Ms. Dooley is listening right now. I know that there's no secret that, Ms. Dooley, you were not happy with Mr. Henry. But I'm calling you to tell you, Phil, that we support you and we intercede on your behalf.
Well, she's listening to you right now. Is she going to think that you don't support her?
Well, I do support her. What my job is to be the happy medium, you know, between people. My job is to be the goodwill generator for the Phil Henry Show. And and the reason why I say that is, if you don't mind, I wanted to bring something. I don't think your audience is going to mind this at all.
Well, what would you like to...
I know it seems like a loaded question, Phil, I know.
Well, what would you like to bring up?
Well, I wanted to talk to you because I was reminded of this by the call I got from Ms. Dooley about your trip to Chicago on Thursday.
Okay, I mean...
It's not bad, but I won't if you don't want me to. I mean, I'd like to.
Well, my trip to Chicago on Thursday is to speak on a panel at the National Association of Broadcasters radio show.
Right, and you've got Joel Denver's going to be the moderator, and Bubba the Love Sponge, and a couple of gentlemen from WBBM.
Right.
And I wanted to say to you simply this, that to try not to offend any of the people there so that we can get more affiliate business for your show.
It's not my intention to offend anybody.
No, I know it's not your intention to offend anybody, but are you going to talk about what the industry needs and all that?
Am I going to talk about what the industry needs? You know, I've been invited to this panel.
Well, I saw the panel. It's about social media.
Yeah, it's about social media, and it's a great panel. It's not the first one I've been on. It's about building audience and building a consumer base using social media.
All right. And that sounds fine, but you always, and I shouldn't say always.
Look, we're getting in now again to the inner workings of the Phil Henry Show.
Well, this is why I say, you know, when I came on, I said, if you don't want me to talk about it.
Well, I didn't want you to talk about it.
But you put me on the air, didn't you?
Because I thought you were going to tell me about Ms. Dooley, and you had something to tell me along those lines.
No, once you put me on the air, and the audience understands this, once you put me on the air, then I get to bring up what I want to bring up.
I don't know that it works like that. You know?
Well, yes, it does work like that. I said to you, let me see if I got this right. I said to you, can I talk to you about the thing coming,
You asked me to talk, you wanted to talk to me about Ms. Dooley, Bobby Dooley.
Right. Okay.
All right, that's, and I said yes.
Yeah, and then I came on the air, and now I can talk about anything I want.
In any event, so what is this, what's the...
Phil, I don't want to argue with you. All I'm saying to you is that when you go to this thing on Thursday and you start talking about the social media and this and that, and that's all great, you inadvertently wind up talking about what a bunch of scumbags everybody in radio is. And
no, I do not say that. No, I don't.
Not everyone in radio, but all of the suits.
No, I don't do that.
You don't?
No, I do not.
Well... I heard Rick D's having to kind of calm you down.
He was telling me, look, man, don't bat. If they ask me my impressions about the... David, what did I tell you 2 weeks ago?
You said it wasn't your fight.
Exactly.
You said that you were picking and choosing your battles.
Exactly.
You said that you could care less what happens to the industry.
I didn't say that. But I said, look, man, I'm not fighting anybody's fight. I don't give a sweet damn one way or the other. I'm just talking about my show. Okay?
Right.
So how does that...
It's just that when you talk about your show, talk about it in a way that is going to get people to like you as opposed to say you're a pain in the ass.
Well, let me explain something, okay?
Oh, you're going to explain...
Yeah, I'm going to explain something. There's all kinds of pains in the asses in this industry. I'm not the only one. I'm not the only guy with an ego. I'm not the only guy with an attitude. I'm not the only guy who is demanding. This is the fact, and this is what you got to live with, you know. And the stuff that I brought up in the past, I don't apologize for any of that. However.
Yeah.
However, I am not a crusader for a better radio industry.
All right, that's what I wanted to hear.
All right, I mean, I'm not going to get there and, oh, wow, you know, I don't care. And you know, I listened to somebody tell me one time, well, you know, Phil, you're one of the elder statesmen of the broadcasting business. Yeah, you know, big deal. All I want to do is go there, be on this panel, talk about how we use social media. If it gets us some business, that's great. If it doesn't, well, you know, then I have to, you know.
What are you talking about? You didn't want to go.
I'm saying that I'm not going to waste my time going to these things, man, if it doesn't result in business. Now, not everyone has to. Not everything that we go to has to be a ball, you know, knock the ball out of the park. But I have to see over a period of time that whether or not going to these industry things helps this radio show's business or not.
Well, I mean, you're meeting people.
Yeah, I'm meeting people. So what?
So what? What if you meet, like, the guy, one of the big shots that runs one of these companies, and he says, hey, Phil, really like your show?
That's not going to mean anything to me unless that guy puts my show on his stations. I don't give a damn. Okay?
Remember when you said that Urbanski had lunch with that guy from Cumulus and the guy wound up adding his show?
Yeah. Urbanski had lunch with that guy from Cumulus. The guy wound up adding his show, and the guy wound up adding a crap show.
Right. So if you were to have lunch with that guy from Cumulus, maybe he'd add your show, which is a good show.
That guy from Cumulus don't want a comedy show. He wants the Urbanski show.
It's a piece of crap.
Well, he didn't know it at the time.
Yeah.
I'll think about it, man.
Just think about having some lunch with people. Think about doing lunch, okay? I know the idea of it makes you sick. Just think about it.
It doesn't make me sick. It's...
What? Oh, I get it. It's beneath you.
No, it's not beneath me.
Yeah, you're right, Mr. Ollie's all... Oh, wow. I don't do that. Yeah, you can't be that way.
I'm not saying that it's beneath me.
Yeah, you are. You're talking about how you're better than that.
He didn't want to go do lunch with nobody. Yeah, I'm thinking it's phony or something.
Is that it? You think it's phony baloney?
No, I don't think it's phony baloney, okay?
You probably think it's phony baloney, and that for you to go to lunch with these guys dirties up your reputation.
Yeah, that's what he said, too.
I never said anything of the sort. I'll have lunch with these guys.
Well, don't strain yourself, okay? Your Highness... Don't.
Come on, man. I said I would.
No, don't strain yourself. Don't go out and have lunch or breakfast with these guys. It may sully your reputation among the artistes. Boy, you, man, you really take the cake.
Relax, will you? I'll have lunch with these guys. Whoever you want me to have lunch with, I'll have lunch with.
Breakfast, too?
Yes, I'll yeah.
Dinner?
Yes.
What about drink?
I said yes.
Uh-oh.
Don't give me that you hung up on Mr. Hall stuff, because I know I hung up on him. I'm glad I hung up on him, and it's going to be okay, bud. Take it easy, will you? So anyway, we got that out of the way. So anyway, we're going to be in Chicago on Thursday for our panel, which I think is 3 o'clock in the afternoon, something like that. So if you're in Chicago, fall on by. Although, you know what? I guess you can't. I guess you have to have a pass.
Yeah, you got to have a pass to get in.
All right, never mind about falling by. Here is something that is truly a sad story. Monica Lewinsky is living the sad, lonely life of a near recluse as she struggles to make ends meet, according to the National Enquirer. The Enquirer has learned that the infamous 38-year-old, who will always be remembered for her shocking affair with President Bill Clinton, bounces from New York to Los Angeles, crashing with family and desperately trying to live down her scandalous past. Monica's self-esteem is at an all-time low, an insider told the Enquirer. She's given up her own place, and her handbag line crashed. I guess she had a line of...
Some kind of, like, fashion or something, like handbag, purses.
Purses. She's given up her own place, her handbag line crashed. Now she drifts between two coasts and toys with projects that probably will never get off the ground. Monica's goal is to set up her own public relations firm specializing in environmental issues. She's alone most of the time and is pretty much a social pariah. She's given up on ever finding love and doesn't even have friends. Monica still feels like she's the punchline to a dirty joke. She was 21 when she began working in the White House in 1995. Her sexual relationship with Clinton, now 65, created a worldwide firestorm and led to a Republican-prompted impeachment in the House and trial in the Senate, where he was found not guilty and retained his office. In late June, the former White House intern made a rare outing as part of a small dinner party at Lucy's El Adobe Cafe in Hollywood, where gawkers at other tables let fly with wisecracks. Really? Who would have such low you know, what manners.
Well, I don't, what do you mean?
Well, who's going to start making wisecracks? You know what? People are real pigs, man. People have got, in terms of people's public demeanor and behavior, it's never been lower, man. Real slobs. Monica looked emotionless and barely talked, an eyewitness told the Inquirer. I guess I would have said something.
Yeah, I knew you would.
I'm kidding. No, I'm joking. I would not. So, the El Adobe Cafe in Hollywood, is that the one still down there on Melrose? I guess so.
Yeah, that's the one where Jerry Brown used to make out with Linda Ronstadt.
Used to make out with Linda Ronstadt. Boy, that's a hot one.
You don't believe it?
I don't know, but I think Governor Brown is like the late, well, late, yeah, the over 100 years late, President James Buchanan. I just don't think he's interested in sex. How about that? So she's living a sad, lonely life. That sucks. But what are you going to do? You know, what do you do for her? It stinks. You made the decision to get involved with this man, this very powerful married man. He happened to be the president of the United States, a dumb thing to do. And I know a lot of people want to blame Clinton. And, of course, you know, he shares responsibility. I thought what he did was the just the lowest thing. A president of the United States made me sick. Made me sick. And I voted for the guy twice, but I was in favor of him being impeached. I ain't moving on from nothing, man, you know. But, hey, they found him not guilty, so. But here's this woman. She's sort of a casualty of the situation. You got to pull it together there, Monica. I don't know how you do it. I understand how you're feeling. I really do. I really do. You feel like you did this and you did that and you did everything right and maybe he was going to leave his wife and he was going to be with you. You feel like maybe you had a shot and the whole world has just, like, not gone the way you thought it should. I get it. You know, buck up. Some people find out they have a brain tumor. You know, you don't have that. Some people lose every nickel they ever had in a stock market crash. You did, that didn't happen to you. You know, some people, their a dear friend dies or something. That didn't. So there are things in this world. It's just like that. You got to deal with it.
Why don't I try and get her on the show?
She ain't going to come on this show, man. There's no way. And that's not the kind of guest that we put on. I'm not going to put her on the show. What am I going to do? Do a straight interview with her?
Yeah, you could. You'd like be her friend and everything.
Get out of here. I ain't using nobody for the. What's her phone number?
Yeah.
Thank you. We'll be right back. No, we're not going to get her on the show. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and more news. A fighter jets shadow two planes in Detroit and New York City. There was all kinds of paranoia, as you know, around 9/11 on Sunday. So we'll see what was up with that. When we come back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
And don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com. Go over there, get a backstage pass, buy merchandise. Okay, let's go. I got to make a living over here. You know, we're in the middle of a recession. I know you, the discretionary income is very limited, but let me ask you a question, folks. You want to go out and watch a movie and $11, $15, whatever the hell you spend, that's great. Ball games. What we offer you, and by the way, October 1st. I'm just going to say October 1st.
What?
You know. If you're a backstage pass holder today, if you are a first-generation backstage pass holder, your price stays the same, baby, for a subscription. Your price remains the same. As of October 1st, all new business to the Phil Hendry Show website will be paying a higher price. So get a backstage pass today and become a member of our first generation family on the Phil Hendry Show. Okay. 9/11. What happened, man? You know, it was beautiful. It really was. It was gorgeous. But there were security concerns even on 9/11, as we know. And as you know, there obviously are dates that Al-Qaeda pays attention to. And one of those is the big one, 9/11. So fighter jets were scrambled, and they escorted two flights, one to New York, another to Detroit, after passengers using the bathrooms aroused suspicion. On Sunday, on a Los Angeles to New York American Airlines flight, three passengers made repeated trips to the bathroom. The three were cleared after the plane landed safely at New York's Kennedy Airport. Earlier, a Denver to Detroit Frontier Airlines flight, the crew reported that two people were spending an extraordinarily long time in the bathroom. Frontier spokesman Peter Kalachuk said police detained three passengers at Detroit's Metropolitan Airport after the plane landed without incident. They were released. In both instances, the FBI said the jets shadowed the planes, fighter jets, out of an abundance of caution. New York in particular has been in a heightened state of security after federal officials received what they called a credible but uncorroborated tip of a car bomb plot on the September 11th anniversary in either New York or Washington. American Airlines spokespeople said the plane's captain never declared a security threat and never asked for law enforcement help. A security concern was brought to the airline's attention. The crew used normal procedures to assess the circumstances and the plane landed. Apparently, these clowns that were causing all this stuff in the bathroom, they were having sex or making out or something.
You're kidding me. They was making out? You can make out at your seat.
Yeah. Well, I heard when they said it on the news, they said making out, so I... perhaps they were being delicate. The North American Aerospace Defense Command, NORAD, scrambled two F-16 jets to shadow American Airlines Flight 34 until it landed safely at 4:10 p.m. local time. The Transportation Security Administration said in a statement on the flight, the three passengers made repeated trips to the bathroom, and some thought they were using hand signals to communicate, according to law enforcement officials. The official was not authorized to speak publicly and spoke to the Associated Press in condition of anonymity. And his name is Bob I'm kidding.
Can't do that. He's anonymity.
What do you mean, I can't do that? He's anonymity.
Well, I mean, you can't say it.
Yes, I can.
Why?
There's no law says I can't say the guy's name. If he said, oh, I'm going to speak to you on condition of anonymity, I said, well, guess what? I think I'm going to give your name. That's not a... I'm not breaking a law. I mean, the guy will never talk to me again. I mean, as a reporter, I'm finished, because once you out a source... nobody's going to want to talk to you.
That ain't against the law?
It ain't against the law. What are you talking about against the law? There's nothing against the law or for the law about it. I mean, you know, if you want to out a source and publish their name, good for you. But guess what? Who's ever going to talk to you again?
Oh, I see what you mean.
Exactly. The Airbus 318 taxied to a pad away from the terminal. One of the guys had a pad close by. Ha 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 ha. The three escorted off the plane in handcuffs included two men and a woman, and they were having sex in a toilet. And anyway, two of the men were Israeli and one was Russian. Well, that had freaked me out. Oh, there you go. I mean, Israeli, Russian, what's the difference? That's number one. Number two, the way they talk, it's classic Cold War freak out. Just, I mean, right away, you know, what do we got? Nuclear bombs? What's going on? So, that's where that was at. I got to tell you something. Yesterday, we were posting pictures on the website as part of our way of observing the 9/11 anniversary, and all we did was without captions and really without opening up the comment section, because I really didn't want anybody wrecking just this display. And we put these pictures, and as I was going through the internet looking for pictures, I came across some just, oh, man, wrecked stuff.
Like what?
I don't want to... pictures of people after they'd fallen off the building.
Oh, man, what'd it look like?
I'm not even going to go into it. But I saw... well, you know what? There's not enough time to really explain. I saw the face of one of the people that had jumped off the building, and they were laying on their back on the cement. And the look on their face was a look of pain, man. It wasn't like they passed out in flight. It wasn't like they looked like they'd been released from their agony. They were still with this excruciating look on their face of, this sucks, having to jump out of a building, you know.
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, yeah, I mean, it does suck. Anyway, that struck me. That will stay with me. I hope you will stay with us. I hope you will go to our website, get a backstage pass, and then stay with us. Our show is produced by Dan Northcraft, Phil Hendry, Fred Scotty, and Chris Johnson. Dan Northcraft is what I said, not Kraft.
Phil Hendry.